Blog Talk Radio.
Time is now 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that means you are tuned into Soul Sessions Radio right here on the Flavor News Radio Network. I am your host, Dwayne Austin, and as always, I got some good music lined up for you tonight. I don't even know where I'm going to begin. I just know that, I got some good music. I do have some new stuff, though. Maybe I'll kick off with the new stuff. Before I get into that, though, let me tell you that I have a guest tonight. Tonight's guest is a singer-songwriter and a member of a band called Young Pandas. His name is Mike Maven, and I call this brother New England Soul, and you'll find out why tonight. His music is excellent, and the band's music is excellent. Again, the name of the band is Young Pandas. I'm not going to say anymore. We'll just wait for them. Well, wait for him. He's going to be here at 10:30. So in the meantime, kick back, relax. Pour the wine, dim the lights, light the candles, and allow me to take you on the journey, which is the Quiet Storm. And I am going to begin here. This is something, well, the song isn't new, but it's new to me. I was just put onto this tonight, as a matter of fact. This is from LaVita Davis. This is entitled I Love You, and you are tuned into Soul Sessions.
Thank you.
some loving, baby, that I'll give to you. If you want some hugging, baby, oh, I can hug some too. All I want, baby, is some touch from you. Just a little bit of tension, yeah, it's gonna see me through. 'Cause you know you're my kind, and I want you to be mine. I idolize you, I idolize you, baby. I wanna make love to you when the lights are low.
Has that vibe to it. That's why I love it so much. Either way, Before that, we had John Bibbs off of his latest release, Ode to Old Flames. That was Gone, featuring Kanya Doss. Before that, we had my good friend Janice B. I call it JBZ. Either way, that was off of her debut CD, which is entitled My Life. The track title is Love Will Find You. Before that, we had Honey La Rochelle, who hails out of Canada. I believe Toronto, but I'm not exactly sure. Title of that track is Whatever Gets You High. Before that, we had B-More's own De La Shah with Love Will Lead Us. And we led off that set with LaVita Davis, track entitled I Love You. I see my guest is on the line, so let me go ahead and give the formal introduction, and then we'll go ahead and bring the soulful brother in. This brother's a singer-songwriter. He is a member of a hot band called Young Pandas, and he's a talent in his own right. And I really can't wait. I got some good music, but I guess that intro wasn't as formal as I would like it to be. But anyway, please help me welcome to the Soul Sessions Show, New England Soul, a.k.a. Mike Mazin.
What's up, man?
What's going on, brother? New England Soul, finally.
Doing well, man. Doing well, man. Doing well.
Shoot, that's what's up. Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you for taking time out of your busy Friday to join me here on the Soul Sessions radio show.
We've been looking for a Friday to do this for a long time, man. It reminds me that they've been pretty busy, you know, playing and making music because we had that one Friday a little while back we both missed, and then that had been my first Friday. It was free in a long time, and then we had to wait for this one too. So at least that's a good thing, I think. You know, I've been at least playing music on Friday nights. I think that's a good thing. So this is taking my time on my Friday off to talk about music. It sounds just as good to me. So
yeah, no problem at all. No problem at all. Yeah. So let me pull up my questions here. I got a few questions that I wanted to ask you, and I put them on my iPhone somewhere, so I need to actually find what I did with that.
What was that last song that was on? I was listening, you know, when I called in, and actually had the station playing in the phone. What was that last one?
It's called I Idolize You by Liz Wright.
That was nice. I like that.
Yeah, like I was saying, you know, it just reminds me of one of those juke joints. Just going.
Kind of made me feel like I was down in Austin, Texas again, like just down in like a blues bar, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it was nice.
Exactly.
That was nice.
All right, I'm going to lead off with something I ask every guest that I have, and that's simply, when did you know music was what you wanted to do with your life?
Oh, man. I mean, I knew music was what I wanted to do with my life when, when I was real little, I was doing musical theater. I got into it because my uncle was doing musical theater and like off Broadway stuff in New York. And I used to go see him when I was a kid. We'd go down to Queens and I'd see him when we'd drive into the city and in Manhattan. He'd be in plays and singing musical theater and I loved that. So I was doing that when I was younger, but when my father left, you know, when I was 11, my dad, he split, and my mom and I moved back to the East Coast from Arizona. We had lived out there for a while, and he sent back my mom's guitar, and I picked it up, and I guess it was probably about a year later, my stepdad taught me my first few chords, and I wrote a song that day with the two chords that I learned, the first two chords he taught me. I wrote a song that day. And then every new guitar chord he taught me, you know, then the next two chords he taught, I'd write another song with that. I wasn't even really that into learning other people's songs for a very, very long time. I just wrote with whatever new music or new chords. And to me, it's always been about that, about songwriting and expressing myself. And I think it was really that day I wrote that first song, and I felt like I had said something, you know, that meant something to me that I could express through music, so it could mean something to somebody else. It was that feeling that actually sold me on it, I think, right then. And I stopped doing musical theater. I picked up a guitar. I started a band. You know, I was at that from the minute I could play a couple chords of guitar. I was like, man, I want to start a band. And that was it for me, really.
Wow. So you've been ready to do this for a long time.
for a long time, man. Yeah, I mean, I was 11 years old, first picked up a guitar, and I just took to it. I don't know, music just spoke to me, man. And you know, it was, I mean, I definitely, you know, my influences were speaking through me from a very early point, especially because when you're young and you're writing, you know, you tend to do a lot of copycat stuff just because of what you listen to, and you say, I want to write something like that. And it, you know, real good music, I mean, real music that, like, really comes from a very original place, it takes a very long time to get to, I think, because you do, you know, follow a lot of formulas. You do a lot of copycat stuff early on. And it, you know, I'm at a point now where it's like, if I write anything that I feel like is hashed from anything else, I'm like, I get frustrated. I scrap it, you know, and I'm always searching to, like, write something original. And it's taken a very long time just to get to the point where I feel like I can do that as well. And, you know, I just really think that really good music does take time. And so I'm glad that this is something that I've done for so long and I've stuck with. And, you know, music really has been my life for a very long time.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I wanted to ask you, just to piggyback on what you were saying about the songwriting. Well, actually, no, I'll get to that a little later, because I definitely like to talk about songwriting during the course of my interviews. But I wanted to ask you, at what point, I guess, you know, you've been wanting to do music since 11, but at what point did you actually step out and you know, call yourself a professional?
Man, that's tough, man. You know, it's funny. I saw that post on your Facebook a little while back, and everybody was saying that you were looking like Bun B. I always think of Bun B when I think of. I always think of Bun when I think of that. You know, that whole idea because my boy Sixth Sense, who's a, you know, a producer from New York, when he was working with Bun a while back, you know, he said to Bun, like, and at this point, you know, I guess, you know, Six was probably like, I don't know, like 25 or something, you know, and he's like, yeah, man, I've been doing this, you know, seriously, like 10 years, man. And Bun looked at him and he was like, now you say that like that's a long time, because, I mean, how long has Bun been doing it, you know? And you look at these guys that have been doing it for 30, 40 years. I mean, I think that at any point in the musical process, you don't necessarily even, you know, especially if you, depending on who you compare yourself to, I mean, it's like, professional, I don't know, you know, I mean, when I got done with college and I moved to Austin, Texas, and I said, mm-hmm. I want to give it a shot. I want to try to play music and support myself and support other musicians as well, and have a band and pay everybody for the gigs and see if we can, you know, at least scrape by. And we did. And we definitely played our original music. We played all over. We were playing 3-4 nights a week, like crazy, in Texas and in the South, and making $25 a night sometimes. And we were scraping by and paying cheap rent and eating ramen. And that was really okay, you know, I'm doing this professionally, you know, that was when the music also had to make money too. And it started to have to be, a way to pay my rent. That definitely changed things for me as well, you know?
Right.
And it still has in so many ways. I mean, it still does. I think that you, as an artist, you have to figure out a way to make money with your art, but still, you know, maintain an integrity too. And it can be a very difficult balance, but it can also do great things to you too, because it can make you say, you know, no, I do this actually for the art, and making great art is really, you know, what I want to do with it. And when you can make that work, that's, you know, that's the biggest reward.
Yeah.
I think that's what everybody looks for, you know?
Oh, yeah, I understand exactly. I understand exactly. I was just thinking, I had another question that just popped in my head, but I can't remember that one. So I'll go into the next one that I wrote down here. In your bio, you know, it talks about the panda symbolizing oneness and diversity, and also being an endangered species. And I wanted to know if you could elaborate on that a little bit in regards to how that imagery is found in your music.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the young pandas thing, I mean, you know, when I was doing my solo music, I really was, I was just this lone soul artist, you know, and you know, all my inspirations, I mean, really come from soul music and everything, but still, you know, I feel like what's been done with soul has been done by the people who I idolize, people I admire, and I really want to try to do something that's new as well. And when I kind of took the break or took the step back from this idea of doing a solo thing, and my bass player and I said, you know what, let's do this as a group, as a band. Even if we don't have the other members right now, it's kind of like we'll build it and they will come. And sure enough, that's what happened. And the band, the other guys in the band have really filled in that thing that we were looking for without us having to ask. We found the right players just by putting out there, we're going to do the music that we really want to do. And these pieces have come together. And it's, you know, we have a drummer who is this amazing, he's an amazing soul and R&B drummer, but he plays in a touring hardcore band. And, you know, we have a keys player with a crazy diverse background. We all come from these diverse musical backgrounds, but we've come together and made this music together. And so that's one way in which that's true, but also, you know, in sort of like philosophical way, it definitely, we think that the panda works as, you know, a symbol too, just of like, you know, the panda is sort of like the symbol of like the world, and it's like the symbol of like people coming together for a cause, or it's almost like the panda is black and it's white and it's Asian and it's, you know, and it's all these things, and it really, I feel like it just creates the panda itself. It works as a symbol for those things, which is just I think just a happy accident of the name, which really just came from actually myself and my bass player's nicknames that a friend of ours had given us. We put our two nicknames together, and the name Young Pandas came out. That's really where
okay,
it came
so
from.
Okay, so who's Young and who's Panda?
All right, so we had a friend, James Kinney, this cat from Houston, that we were producing his record, and he said that, he said I was Young De Niro because, you know, I'm the Italian, I'm the Guido. So he said I was Young De Niro, and then he said that Kyle, the bass player, he called him Little Panda because he said he was like a big black guy stuck in a little white boy's body playing bass. So
oh,
he called
wow.
him Little Panda. So we said, oh cool man, so your record is produced by Young Pandas, and we said that then, and then it kind of just stuck in the back of our mind for a very long time. And even, you know, when we said, oh, let's start a band and let's do this as a band thing, forget about this solo thing, the name just, we came up with probably 100 other names, but Young Pandas just kept coming up, and we felt like the panda was a great symbol for that reason, for it being sort of like an idea of unity and diversity and all these things. And we said, you know, this really, it matches with our message, it matches with our outlook on music. I mean, we definitely, all of us in the group, we feel like really great musicians and people who are trying to make really great music are an endangered species. And we feel like everywhere we turn to music right now, we hear a lot of just rehash and, you know, a lot of formula and people who are like, people like Prince, you know, and people like Bill Withers, you know, like Bill was always just trying to say what was coming from his soul. And there's just not a lot of people that are trying to do that. We felt like that was an endangered species, you know. And so we said, so is the panda. And that works. That works for us, too. You know, we feel like we want to be more like them. And we want to be more like a panda, you know, in that way.
Right. Yeah, I noticed in your bio you did, you know, reference Bill Withers a lot. And I wanted to ask you, you know, just out of curiosity, what is your favorite Bill Withers track?
Man, well, I don't know. I've always been a big fan of Use Me because I play that song so much in my shows. Actually, it's funny because just before I called you, I'm at my friend's house. You know, some people from the Young Pandas family just hanging out tonight, and he had on a Bill Withers live set downstairs. Grandma's Hands too, man. I love that song.
Yeah,
really good Bill Withers songs, man. He just has written so many classics too. And I can't hate on some of his more disco stuff, like Just Two of Us either. I mean, he's written so many great classics because he just really understands what makes great music. And he's always, when you see Bill on stage, he's such an inspiration because I think you see him on stage, he's playing guitar and he's singing, and there's nothing that is like, there's nothing that about him that's trying to be something other than that guy on stage playing great music and singing to you from his soul. I mean, he doesn't, in his whole affect, everything about his, the way he is on stage, the way that he speaks to the audience, the clothes that he wears. I mean, he's a very humble man. He still is. He's written some of the most classic songs in soul music, but he to this day is one of the most humble men. And I that just always is an inspiration for me. I look back to him, and I look a lot to Stevie, you know, for songs that he's written. I mean, just so many classics, but also such a creative musician as well, you know. And these guys, I look at them and I see them as the true soul and heart of what, you know, good music means to me, you know, in my life.
I can dig it. Yeah, my favorite track is Hope She'll Be Happier. And the funny thing about it was I heard the Sweetback version before I heard his version. And, you know, like for a while, at least for a year, I thought that was an original song by them. And it
wasn't. It was Sweetback song?
Huh?
Yeah, that's a great version, though.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, if I had to choose between the two, I probably would choose the Sweetback version, only because I just love the sound that they create.
That's a really great version of that song. It really is.
Yeah.
I also, you know, a song I love too is "Kissing My Love." Man, that's a great song. That's a I think a slept on Bill Withers tune actually. Well, I'm kissing my love. I mean, it's so good, man. It's so funky too.
Actually, I'm gonna have to go check that out. I don't think I've heard that.
Oh, it's a great song, and I love Michelle and Joe Cello's version of "Who Is He and What Is He to You." Because she's amazing.
That's a Bill Withers song too.
That's also a Bill Withers song, yeah. Who is he to you? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely slipping. I need to go get my Bill Withers up.
Apparently. Oh, and that's the other thing, too. You dig into his catalog, and it's, you know, it's the same with Prince, too. You know what I mean? He's written so many songs, and, you know, so many artists have covered his stuff, and his songs have inspired so many other songs. And he was so far ahead of his time, even with a record like 1999 and things he was doing with that record with drum machines and synthesizers and everything, and people are to this day still using, I mean, even myself, still using those sounds and those, you know, those formulas for writing that were just so far ahead of their time.
True, true. All right, I want to get into some music, and you know what I got to play.
I do.
Yeah, I got to play it. I got to play it. Now, I'm not so sure, but, well, what I wanted to ask you about this song is it one of your solo songs, or is it a Young Panda song?
It's truly one of my solo songs, but it's a song that has really come with us because, into Young Pandas, because it's a song that has meant a lot to me and has stuck with me. You know, I'm glad that it's a favorite of so many people that I meet, because it's a song that's special to me as well, you know. And I mean, really, that song, you know, I mean, on the surface you could translate it any way, but, you know, the song really is about not being able to be everything for everyone. And you know, I think that this is something that we struggle with as people. We actually want to be everything to everyone sometimes, you know. And we really want to be able to be there, and
right.
You know, we're just human. There's only so much that we can give. So that's why the song is called "If I Could Be." You know, it's not saying that I can't
so much. That's why I like it so much, because I can relate to that message. It's like, you know, I mean, just growing up, you know, I've always been that guy. Like I tried to be, you know, a friend to anyone that I call friend, and you know, like I take that seriously. So, you know, I really tried to be there, and I tried to, you know, be a friend and be helpful and all that stuff. So, you know, and like you said, at the end of the day, it's like you're only human, and, you know, you can only do it so much.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. I mean, you already got it. That's the song right there. It really is.
All right, folks, you guys got to hear this. This is "If I Could Be." And who is, let me try to pronounce this.
Yakov.
Thank you.
Okay, so
yeah, I was
Yakov,
really about to be all wrong.
You should really know Yakov Kremeski is the guitar player who took the solo on that song. You know, I'm a guitar player, and I'm a guitar player, and I love playing guitar solos on my records. But But Yakov he's a friend of mine. He's a peer. He's my age. He's also one of my guitar idols. He's one of the best guitar players that I've ever known and ever had the pleasure to work with. And he's the guitar player who took the guitar solo on that song.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, folks, let's hear this, If I Could Be. Featuring, say it again, Yakov Kreminsky?
Yakov Kreminsky.
Got it.
Thank you.
that, oh my God, that is my jam. I mean, I had that on my iPod and everything. Like, I'm serious. I keep that in rotation. So that's like, yeah. I said, the song is so relatable.
We tracked that song live in the studio too. You know, that was literally the band playing together, and that's another reason why I love that, just that recording of it too. I mean, there was a certain magic there too, just of real musicians playing together in the studio. You know, not you know, somebody coming in and dropping a vocal take over a track that was. I mean, and of course, you know, there's nothing wrong with a track being produced ahead of time, but you know, there was just something about that magic that was there when we all got together, and I said. I mean, I literally, you know, said, guys, here's the three chords that this song is based on, and, you know, here's the song, here's the tune, let's do it, and that was what came out.
How many takes?
That was probably either the second or third take.
That's not bad.
No, it was. I mean, we ran through it once. I said, okay, guys, and I was in the vocal booth with my guitar, going, all right, guys. The bridge here, okay, Yakov, guitar solo, you know, and we had a running joke for a while too, because actually there was the take that we kept. I was actually kind of directing everybody in the background too, just in between my vocal take, and there's one point where, like, you know, the song got real low right before the guitar solo, and he said, Yakov, like, just to let him know that he was supposed to play, and I was like, and so there was this joke that we were gonna leave that in there, like, it's just getting that, you know, the song's getting pretty sexy, but you know, but. Yakov. It's Yakov.
Oh,
you know, that was, making the whole record was a great experience, man. I mean, we did that song at Downtown Studios in New York, which is where Downtown Records is based out of, and we did it with Jason Goldstein, who's the engineer for The Roots. And, you know, having him as both the recording engineer and the mixing engineer that polished the final product of it was great, because he had the vision just for the whole sound of it, you know, from the get-go. I mean, he sent me some of just the raw tracks of, you know, what just the sounds that we got from the board and the equipment that we were using. And I mean, you know, you could have almost not touched it, and it was a great mix already, because it just sounded so good. Having him placing all the mics and picking out all the gear, and, you know, it was a great experience, man. I'd love to do it again, but it was also very expensive to do. And, you know, a musician nowadays doesn't have that kind of money all the time. So.
Yeah, I hear you there. I'm definitely
here. I wish we all could be recording in million-dollar studios all the time, but, you know, we can't.
But you know what, though? I mean, I don't know, at least in my opinion, and I'm not a musician, so I guess I really can't speak for so much on it, but it seems like moments like that, you know, because they come so far few between that, you know, like, it seems like you can draw the most inspiration out of a moment like that, because, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's not contrived. It's not like, you know, you're looking at your schedule like, yeah, in 2 weeks I got to go record that song. And then, you know, it's kind of like you go into the studio, your moment's there, and you take advantage of it.
Yeah, like I say, I mean, you know, I wasn't even sure that we wanted to record a slow song. I mean, the idea when we were doing this record and getting in there was like, let's try to record some really high-quality stuff that we could show to a record label or something. And we weren't even thinking about doing a slow song. And I just said, guys, check this tune out, man. I wrote this, and I think it really speaks to me, and I'd like to do it, you know. And I showed them the tune, and they're like, all right, let's try it. And that was the product, you know. And I was just like, oh, I'm so glad I suggested that song. So glad it was.
Like I tell every artist, I mean, you know, at least in my eyes, the measure of your chops is whether you can get a good slow jam in there. Like, you have to have a good slow jam.
I agree. A drummer ain't a drummer if you can't play a slow groove, man. True.
Thank you. And let me just put it out there officially. If you are an artist and you are listening to the words coming out of my mouth right now, remember that. You need to have a slow jam on your project. So if you don't one on your project, make it happen.
Get one.
Trust me. You'll thank me later.
All my favorite tunes are slow jams, man. All my favorite songs of all time are slow jams.
Exactly. Except for one. Honestly, no. I think that's a lie. Yeah, it's every track that I've ever loved is a slow jam. That's why I do this show, because You know, like I've always wanted to be like Kevin Slow Jam and James. That he's like my idol. I wanted to be that guy. I wanted to be the guy doing a Quiet Storm radio show.
If I could make a career out of just writing and recording slow jams, I would do it. There was a time maybe in the mid '90s where I could have done that, but you know that time has passed. But you know, I still have my special place for these slow songs. Yeah.
You know what? I'm kind of glad you brought that up. Like I said, you know, when I get to talking about the songwriting, I'm about to get into it a little bit, but I tend to spend a lot of time with that because of the fact that I'm an aspiring songwriter myself. And I try to pull a, you know, I try to pick as many brains as possible. So I have a lot of questions in regards to songwriting, but I want to touch on what you just said about, you know, writing professionally, because that's ultimately what I want to do. I can't write for myself. So at some point I know I want to be able to write for others, but you know, I have a little difficulty transitioning from poetry to songwriting. People say it's easy, but I don't really see it as easy. At least it's not easy for me.
Sometimes the right words are what another songwriter is missing too, man. I mean, you know, you look at like some really famous, like Elton John, he couldn't write a lyric. So he just,
that's,
you know, he had his partner that wrote his lyrics for him, you know? I mean, that was how it went. You know, some people are good with the words, some people are great with putting the words to music, and you know, and some people are really great at writing songs for other people. And, you know, I myself, I'm really just very good at writing songs for myself. I actually struggle at writing songs for other people. It's a talent I wish I had, actually, because I could go right out for, you know, write for a lot of other people. I love collaborating with another artist and seeing their vision through, especially I love working with hip-hop artists, and I spend a lot of time doing that. And I love being able to, you know, be the singing talent on a hip-hop record and understand what their vision for this track is, understand what they're trying to say, and translate it into a hook or, you know, some type of another vocal part or something, whatever I can, you know, lend to that tune. I love collaborating with other artists and writing off of their ideas, but if you sat me down and said, oh, write a song for Rihanna, I don't think I could do it, you know? That's not how I am.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it either. I've always wondered who I would want to, you know, write a song for if I could. And honestly,
I can think of some people I would write songs for, but they're mostly either dead or don't have
right, like Luther, that. Like Luther Vandross. I would love to write a song for him because I listen to him so much. It's like, that's probably what my lyrical style would be closest to, the stuff that he sung anyway.
Right, yeah. And you could hear him singing it. When, you know,
right.
if you were to write a song, I will admit that I sit down and when I write, sometimes I do hear other people singing these songs, and it's actually when I go through a songwriting process, I scrap a lot of stuff. I come up with a lot of ideas that I scrap when I'm writing, and a lot of times it's because I hear somebody else singing that song, and then I finally find a song that I really feel like is, you know, from me. And for me, and that's the one I end up keeping. But I tell you what, most of the time it's like D'Angelo singing in my head, or you know, it's like I hear other people singing it, and I'm like, but that's not me. I would, you know, I don't sound like them. I'm not them. And that's another thing as an artist, you know, for a long time it was like, you know, like, oh, I want to sound like D'Angelo, but I don't sound like D'Angelo. I don't want to sound like D'Angelo. I need to do me. I need to do Mike Maven. I need to do, you know, what my songwriting thing is. For myself,
right.
And what my sound is, and you know, that's a part of the whole experience too with songwriting, is that, you know, you get to a place where you actually know what your voice is, you know when a song is right for you, you know when you're actually saying what you want to say, and you know, you go, okay, cool, and then the song just kind of comes together, you know, after that.
Okay, and it's funny because that was actually the question that I wanted to ask. I wanted you to elaborate a little bit on your songwriting process. So thank you.
Oh man, my songwriting process has no rhyme or reason. Sometimes it's inspired by a piano lick or a guitar chord, or I will say that I'm a big drum groove person. I'm big on grooves, and which is probably why I write very groove oriented music. But you know, a groove will inspire me. And then I will find a melody that goes with that groove. And then I think the rest of the songwriting process is just, It's just the idea of either, you know, you start with a certain harmony that goes with it, but to make it more interesting down the line, you might reharm and make it more interesting, which is a lot of what I do with the band. I'll come with an idea and say, I got this idea, and I have these chords for it, but those don't have to be the chords. I like this groove, and I like this melodic idea. Let's go with it, and let's see what happens. And we've come up with some really great songs just from sitting down with that, just an idea, and saying cool, and it will come out completely different on the other side, but the idea was there to start. And it's not until I either sit down or I start to change it, or the band starts to work on it and we come up with these ideas, that then actually the rest of the song will fall into place. Like a really good idea for some changes for a bridge will make me go, I want to take the song here lyrically as well. Like I feel uplifted by this section of the song we just wrote, so I'm going to write something that's uplifting here. You know, I see this as being an uplifting transition in the song, and the rest will just come like that.
All right, well, let me ask you, could you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by melodic idea?
I mean, you know, any sometimes just something will just grab me. You know, I'll just be sitting, I'll be thinking, or you know, it could be anything. It could be like, oh, I'm feeling good today. You know, that could be it. There it is, the melodic idea, you know. Especially if I hear a good groove, a good drum groove or something that just hits me, and I'm like, and I'll start to feel it. My initial reaction when I hear something that I like is to just kind of start humming along and coming up with melodic ideas, you know, to whatever I'm hearing. I mean, we actually, Young Pandas, we have several tunes that started by me listening to a Dilla beat or a Ninth Wonder beat, and I wrote an idea for a song to that beat, and then we just took it and completely redid the musical end of it.
Interesting. So, I you know what, I'll save that because I want to get into another track. I want to try to get as many of these tracks played before you get out of here. As a matter of fact, I want you to pick the next track.
You want me to pick the next track?
Let me tell you what I loaded, because I didn't load every one of them.
Okay.
We already played If I Could Be. If I Could Be, I also loaded Keys, because you know, yeah, that's probably the new hotness. I'm going to have to throw that on the iPod, too. And I also... I loaded Let Me In. And so between the two, Keys and Let Me In, you know, which one should I play next?
Well, let's take it up tempo. Actually, I think Let Me In is a good one because again, you know, I actually, it's funny, with songwriting and everything, I come from a strong hip hop background, and yeah, the art of hip hop very, very much has inspired me. It's interesting because I'm a singer and I'm a guitar player. In no way am I a rapper or a producer, you know, of like a hip-hop producer. But the art of hip-hop is so inspiring to me. J Dilla is one of my favorite producers of all times. God rest his soul. And when I listen to hip-hop music and when I listen to some of the grooves, I get very, very inspired. And so with Let Me In, it's a great example of, you know, we took an old soul sample, we flipped it, actually inspired by a producer called Nicolay. From Foreign Exchange.
Yeah, of course.
It's a Foreign Exchange record that I loved. We went back and found the original sample and flipped it for ourselves into this tune. And so it's a sample that was chopped up, cut up on the MPC, and with the band playing over it. And that's really what the basis of this tune is. So it's almost like a we would take a sample, and if you were sitting in an MPC, you would program the drums and you would, you know, add to it on the MPC. Except we took that soul sample, looped it up, and did something with it as a band. So I think Let Me In is probably a good example of that and how we're inspired like that.
All right, folks, let's get it in. This is Let Me In featuring J57.
Yeah, J57, actually. Well, he's a member of the band, really. He's a producer from New York, and he actually was the producer that chopped up the samples and stuff on the tune. So Brown Bag All Stars, I got a rep for them. Those are my boys, Brown Bag All Stars.
I know of them. I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're great, man. I love Brown Bag All Stars. They're an awesome hip hop group from New York. from Brooklyn, and man, they just kill. I love every MC in that group. They're awesome.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the name of the track that I heard recently.
They just dropped an EP. They have a really good song called Brown, actually, off that EP, and they've been individually touring. They've been individually doing a lot of stuff, and it's great because I love to see this group is made up of MCs that are releasing their own material and working with other producers, but they come back together as a group, as Brownback All Stars, and release stuff together. And so J57 is one of the producers on the crew of Brownback, and he's a killer DJ, awesome dude. And so he's also been a big component of Young Pandas and of this band coming together. And even though he's in Brooklyn, we still get up over the internet, you know, whatever, when I'm in New York, and make music together. And so, you know, he's been an awesome component of the band.
I hear that. All right, folks, I'm going to let y'all hear that, too. This is a really nice track, though. Again, this is Let Me In. Wow, that's crazy. the foreign exchange actually used that same sample for. I know it,
yes.
But I want to know who else knows it. So, you know, and this is only for the people listening in live, because by the time the people listening through the archives hear this, it'll probably have been answered by now. But if you're listening to this show live right now, and you know the name of the song that the foreign exchange sampled, the same sample for this song for, you know, hit me up on Facebook and let me know. I got something special for you. So that's all I'm going to say. Now, that being said, what is the name of the original song that that sample came from? Because that's what I want to know.
Oh, man, I don't remember anymore, actually. I wish I could tell you right now. I wish I could tell you. I just, you know what, I found it, and I found it. I sent it over to my boy, and he chopped it up. I wish I could tell you what it was off the top of my head. I have to go look it up again. It's on my computer, man. It's on my computer. I wish I could tell you. I knew you were going to ask me that, too. I knew you were going to ask me that, but I don't remember.
It's so profound. It was like it's because I wasn't even sure what song until... You know, because when I listened to this the first time, I wasn't paying attention to that. You know, I was just listening to the song. So when you said that, I was like, what? And as soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I know exactly what song that is, too.
Yep.
You know, and
yeah,
you know, with, you know, the foreign exchange, what they did with it, I know exactly what song that is, because that's one of my favorite songs from them, too.
I love foreign exchange. In fact, you know, in our bio and all this stuff, I mean, I should probably reference foreign exchange more often as being somebody that we, you know, are very inspired by. I mean, I, you know, Fonte, to me, one of the most talented both singers and songwriters and MCs out there. I admire him very much because he's transcended in such a huge way, you know, as starting as an MC and as a rapper and you know, moving to be an incredible singer and songwriter. And with Foreign Exchange, him and Nicolay have done some amazing things together. And I'm definitely a huge Foreign Exchange fan. I mean, they're really making great music, you know, and definitely underrated, underappreciated for sure.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, even when I listen to him rap, like, he's, you know, Fonte has managed to take rap and actually, at least in my ears, you know, I don't think about it as rap. Like, I know he's rapping, but it still sounds like soul music to me. Even
well,
when he's rapping.
I mean, definitely, Ninth Wonder, which is, you know, obviously, you know, the little brother, Ninth Wonder, came out of that whole group. And, I mean, you know, that the whole Little Brother project in Ninth Wonder's production was extremely soulful. I mean, definitely soul
right.
music was the basis for them. And that's why I love that group so much. I mean, I'm a big fan of soulful hip-hop. And, you know, they, you know, definitely Ninth Wonder took that to, I mean, Ninth and Kanye, man, those are the guys that came up with the, you know, Jay-Z had his, oh, so soulful. I mean, you know, Jay-Z loves those soulful beats, and that's why he loves Ninth and he loves Kanye, because the two of them love sampling soul records, and they love flipping soul samples. And I love that as well. So, you know, those two producers, to me, really do that really well.
For sure. All right, and I guess my last question that I really have, because you actually, you talked about two questions that I had. You kind of went and talked about them, so I don't have to really ask those questions. But the last question that I do have is, what advice would you give to someone, you know, looking to do what you do, you know, in terms of putting a band together?
I love that question. That's my favorite question. That's my favorite question. You know, my advice, and I tell this to anybody that I meet, and you know what, it might not work for everybody, but to me, the best advice is you can give to any artist is that they need to absolutely stay true to what they do well. I mean, I think at any level of success, that is going to come across. If you're a nobody and you want to make it somewhere, people are going to latch on to your music most when you're doing the thing that really truly, you know, comes from you and speaks to you and is the music that you want to make. You can definitely go and make some formulaic music. You definitely can go make some music that is less genuine to you. And people might latch onto it because it might sound like something that they like. But the best music is always going to come from when an artist is true to themselves. And when an artist really appreciates the making music as an artistic journey, and every artistic journey is abstract. You know, there's no artistic journey that says there's definitely one way or another. It's not math. You know, it's something else. You know, music is a beautiful thing because it makes us feel connected to the unknown, because there's something about music that just moves us that we don't understand. And it's when you're making music that is what you want to make, that you think really, you really feel it, it really moves you. That's when your music is going to be best understood, I think, by others. And I would advise every musician to stay as true to themselves as possible.
For sure, for sure. There's a book that I want you to check out if you ever get a chance. It's written by a guy, his name is David Arditi. He wrote this book as a thesis paper for his master's thesis, you know, at, not Virginia Commonwealth. Is it? I believe, yeah. No, it was George Mason. He went to George Mason.
Okay.
And
I got my pen ready. I'm writing it down.
The name of the book is called Criminalizing Independent Music, The Recording Industry
Independent.
Yeah, The Recording Industry Association of America's Advancement of Dominant Ideology. And he pretty much talks, you know, about what you're saying about formulaic music. He talks about that in regard to, you know, how the major record labels, or the big four, how they use this formula, you know, to just kind of, you know, just get a stranglehold on the music industry. And anything outside of that is pretty much just pushed to the side. And it talks about the commodification of music, because that's what that whole thing is called.
You know, I've known some artists, and I won't name names, but, you know, people who are friends of mine who were lucky enough to be cool enough to enough people to get a record deal. And I've truly admired them as artists, and the record labels would not put out music that they were making that I so admired. And when I finally heard what the record label would put out and what they finally came out with years later, when it's after struggling with their own record label, they should be supporting them and putting their music out. When I hear what they come out with years later, it's the most watered-down, terrible, formulaic music that I would never think twice about, and it will be here today and gone tomorrow. And I don't see, they are a million times more famous than I am or may ever be. But I don't hear that music sticking around, that I don't hear it actually meaning anything to them or to anyone. And maybe if the goal is just fame, then that's okay, if that's what they want. And, you know, fame has a thing too, because if you make great music, you certainly want it to be heard. But fame can't be the only goal for music, and, you know, neither can money. I mean, real music has to come from the soul, man, and it's got to be about the soul. And it's sad to see that, you know, that the only music really is being put out by major labels is very formulaic music.
It's really sad.
We're guilty of it. We're guilty of it in soul music too. I mean, when neo soul became a thing, I mean, every artist was putting out the most formulaic neo soul records, and that, you know, you still see it on VH1 Soul. I mean, all these songs that were just like, you know, Jill Scott, you know, copycats. And yeah, I mean, you know, we're guilty of it in every style of music too. Even music that I love, I listen to some music that was just the most formulaic music, you know, and I love it, because there's just some songs that just like, this remind me of when I was younger or whatever, you know, and I love that stuff. But you know, it's the artists that are really doing something original that stick around, or that are remembered as the pioneers, or who are the greats, people like D'Angelo and people like Erykah Badu, you know, and then in the neo soul movement. I mean, it's those people that tried something different, and then everybody copied them. You know, those are really the people that people remember and that stick around.
I make an excellent point. Really do. All right, one last thing before I let you go. Two last things. First is, I want to give you the opportunity to put anything out into the universe that you need to have put out into the universe, you know, upcoming shows, where they can find your music, things like that. And also, I want you to lead us out I'm going to play keys, and I want you to lead us out and, you know, give a little insight into, you know, what you were thinking when you wrote that song or when this song was written.
Okay. I love this band, Young Pandas, that I've become a part of. It's something so much bigger than myself and the musicians in this group and the guys that I work with. I'm blessed. I'm honored to be working with them. Truly, I mean, it's, you know, I'm lucky every day I step in the studio, step on the stage with these guys and make music. This is what it's all about to me. You know, I've found a group of musicians that fit my goal, which is that I want to be making really good music with really great people. And I believe in this project, and I'm, you know, going to do everything in my power to get it out there. It's youngpandasband.com. Everybody can go listen to the tunes that we have out. We have no record out yet because we're working on it. So I'm hoping for next year, you know, for a record to come out. But we're working, and we're working hard, and, you know, we're up in the East Coast and playing as much as we can. We're playing on December 1st in Boston at the Middle East downstairs with Penguin Prison, which is a band I also really love and admire from New York, signed Downtown Records. So I'm very excited to be playing with them on December 1st in Boston. Young Pandas, can't say enough about it. But Keys is the next slow jam from the project, and this one really was a song that just came out of a songwriting session where we were just it was actually myself and the bass player. We had the idea for the tune, and a lot of with the Young Pandas thing as opposed to my solo stuff before is that I really wanted to be very raw and just really be able to say what was on my mind. So rather than trying to beat around the bush or try to pander this song to anybody or to a group of people, we just took some musical ideas. The song was very, very, very Sly and Family Stone inspired. And we just took our musical influences and just threw into a pot on this tune for this slow jam. And we just wanted to be really raw about that feeling, it's like when you the moment before you're about to be, you know, with the person that you love, and you're like, stop messing around, let's do this. So that's to me what Keys is about.
All right, folks, and before I actually play the track, I want to thank you for, like, again, taking your time out of your busy Friday to come hang with me, and when you guys actually do get the album together, I need all of you to come back.
Absolutely. Oh, we'll be there. We'll conference call, yeah, for sure. And thank you, man. I really appreciate you just, you know, letting me have the time on air. Really appreciate that.
No doubt. That's what I'm here for. All right, folks, this is Keys, Young Pandas. I know you're going to like this because I like this.
It's a miracle how you possess me, and now I'm feeling for your love in a silent way. You sneak in like a thief and take the important pieces of whatever piece you think's left in my heart, and suddenly I feel so incomplete without you. When was your plan? Diabolical as all hell in heaven. And still you say your motives are pure. Well, how can that be when only you have the cure? Above your bed.
of Young Pandas for coming and hanging out with me. Always appreciate it. And you are welcome back anytime. For the folks listening through the archives, as always, I invite you to tune in live each and every Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on the Flavor News Radio Network and Soul City Radio. And on that note, I'm going to slow things down a little bit for this last set because this is a Quiet Storm show, so I would be remiss if I didn't play any slow jams. Now, what up? You know, and so, yeah. On that note, I am out. Next week, my guest, hold on, let me make sure I let you know that. Next week, my guest is Mr. Paris Tune. If you don't know about this brother, look him up. He has a band, they're entitled Mother's Favorite Child, and they make some bomb music, so he'll be here on the 16th to talk about that and talk about his latest release. And yeah, one more thing. I haven't gotten any responses yet to my little question, but I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'll leave that offer open. So the moment somebody finds out which foreign exchange song use the same sample as Let Me In from Young Pandas that you hear tonight on the show, you come find me and you come tell me. And if you are the first one, I got something for you. So make sure you do that. You can find me on Facebook. And, my name is Dwayne Austin. And I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to get into this music. Thank you.
unplayable. The wait begins again. Waiting for you to speak. Everything stops like traffic in heat. Or is it already Monday? Scent of you still sits like chocolate on my tongue. Hungry for more of you again. Ooh, I must be going crazy. It was easy. You started over again. I don't even feel like making up right now.
Even though it's the best part.
Could you just sit still and enjoy the moment? Forget that time is asking all the things we cannot answer. But ooh, did you just leave again?
used to